28. We've been looking at everyday supernatural living, and the major thought we're trying to communicate to us in this series is the fact that just like the service began this morning, there is a tendency for you and I to think that it's only when we have specially designated meetings that you can have the flow of God's grace and God's power. There's a tendency for us to think that way. And we've tried to say that if we think that way and live that way, we will frustrate the purposes of God when it comes to the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? There has to be a consciousness. And notice the consciousness, because you can't improve on what God has done. You can only improve when it comes to revelation knowledge concerning what God has done for you. And that's why, you know, some of us are thinking, don't they have any other subjects? Why must they always mention the resurrection of Jesus? Without it, there's no church. Without it, there is no church. Without it, none of the things written in the scripture is true. Without it. It is a central theme of the scriptures. It is a promise that was given right from the days of Abraham. Even in the garden, it was a promise that was made. So if you remove that from scriptures, the scriptures can't hold together. Now, let me say this. What is there to study? Now, somebody died and rose. If there's nothing more behind that dying and rising, think about it. Obviously, there has to be something more. There's nothing there to study about somebody just died and rose. Except you begin to look closely at the implications of that event. And that's one of the reasons why we don't refer to the resurrection of Jesus in the past tense. It's a past event with a present tense reality. There is nowhere in the epistles where it refers to Jesus, he just rose. No, he is risen, is the message of the epistles. That means the Spirit of God wants you to see today that Jesus is risen, is why you are alive, not that he rose. He is risen, is a theme of the epistles. With that light, that understanding, that consciousness helps you and I to actually expect and to manifest the supernatural every day. Not until you get to church. That would defeat God's plan and purposes. So look at Matthew 28. I'm going to read from verse 18. Matthew 28 verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, this is after he rose from the dead. All right, this is Matthew's account. You will find the same account in Luke 24. And the synopsis of the Gospels is for you and I to have the eyewitness account of those who were present. They were present. So whatever Matthew doesn't say, Luke covers. Whatever Luke doesn't tell you, Mark will fill in the blank spaces. Do you understand so far? Why do we have the synoptic gospel? So that we can see the eyewitness testimony from different angles. So you see them saying the same thing. They may say it a little bit differently. And this one may supply this particular aspect, and this other one supplies this other aspect. Then you have a full picture of what the scripture is talking about. So in verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we said the word power, there is the word authority. Okay. And then again, we in this series we began to look at the mode by which Jesus speaks and teaches. That is, there was a way he communicated that was different from every other person that had gone before him. Now, it was similar to the language of the Old Testament prophets, but there was still a uniqueness. In the same way, you will agree with me, if I send you to communicate a message, and I come and communicate the message myself, would there be a difference? Okay. If I'm communicating the message I sent you, is it okay to say that I am the substance of the message? Is that okay? All right. So, when we go through the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, what we find on the lips of people like David in the book of Psalms are the statements of Jesus that he is reporting. Now, he is reporting it and telling you that Jesus will say this. But you know the one he's reporting is Aegeles. How many agree with that? Okay, so he is prophesying. Okay? So, when the one who is the message, who gave the message shows up, you notice he will speak with a greater degree of authority. How many agree with that? Good. So when Jesus is speaking, the reason why we are paying attention to what he's saying is that he had said some things before this event. Look at John's Gospel chapter 16. John's Gospel chapter 16. I'm going to read it from verse 7. John's Gospel chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. When Jesus says, I tell you the truth, means I want to open your eyes to see a reality. What's that reality? It is expedient and necessary for you that I go away. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the comfort I will not come unto you. But if I what? The part, I will what? Send him unto you. Now, this is a mode of speaking. If you follow this mode of speaking without investigating what is said in chapter 14, chapter 15, you would think Jesus and the Comforter are two separate persons. Pay attention. It's important. Because he has already told them, I will not leave you comfortless. I will what? Come to you. He has said that also. So this is why we read everything together. You cannot cherry pick. You can quote a verse alone because it usually doesn't stand by itself alone. You look at the surrounding text to communicate what? The full message. So if you read this alone, you've not gotten the full message because this is not the first time he's mentioning Comforter. He's spoken of a Comforter in chapter 14. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. See what it says. We'll come back here. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall what? Give you what? Another Comforter. If you're reading that in English, which is what you are doing right now, you may not understand the import of the word another Comforter. Okay? In the Greek, it's called allos parakletos. It means another of the same kind. So, the word, means you see the same kind, you understand why it says another. So, you can use another. If the person saying is standing before you, is standing before them, says, I will give you, I will pray for that. He will give you what? Another Comforter. If it's of the same kind, it's exactly like me, but it will not be in this form. I mean, you understand that? In this physical form. So, how was Jesus with them? It was physically with them. Okay? It was a physical expression of the temple. It was a partial fulfillment of the promise. Remember, in this series, we looked at the fact that in the beginning, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God what? Created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of what? The waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, some things we said along the line are things we had said in the previous series, which if you have not had that series, you may struggle a little bit with what we are trying to communicate. We said the face of the waters, the face of the deep, is a reference to the heart of man. What Moses did was use imagery to communicate spiritual realities. That's what he did. If somebody tells you the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters, if his spirit, can you see spirit? Can you see spirit? So he says he moved over the face of the waters, and God said the movement can only be defined by what was spoken. I mean, if you understand that. Do you understand that? Okay, so the moving is a speaking. That's what he's saying. But using imagery. Now, I didn't arrive at that magically speaking. When we look through the epistles, Paul is the one who told us, look at 2 Corinthians 4. I realized that I said some things in the Orient. We may, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, we'll come back. And that's why you need to be opening your Bibles fast. But if our gospel be it, it is it to them that are what? Lost. Next verse. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of what? The glorious gospel of Christ, who is one? The image of God should shine unto them. Look at the next verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6 is where we're going. For God, who one commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shine where? Now pay attention. Paul is quoting Genesis 1 and 2 and 3. That's what Paul is doing. Paul is explaining to you what was said in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3. Is this the same God who did that? Or what Moses recorded was to let you know what salvation means. God will shine his light into the heart of men. And that light is a revelation of Christ, or the revelation of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Say amen. Now, if you go to Genesis, will you see that? No. You won't see that. So, you know, I think it was in last week that Pastor Luke took us on, whereby when you read Ephesians 3:4, you will understand my knowledge in what? The mystery of Christ. So when you see imagery, it's mystery. It's a mystery form. Mystery means that which ought to be explained, but it's not explained. That's what a mystery is. A mystery in Bible is not something that is unknown. It means it ought to be explained, but it's yet to be explained. Okay? So Paul is quoting Genesis 1:2 here, where he says, the same God, or when you think that Moses was speaking about water and darkness, he's talking about the heart of man. So, earth there is man, heaven is who? God. If you understand, let me see your hand. Okay, if you don't understand, let me see your hand. Okay, thank you. Now everybody understood. Let me say it again. Look at that. Let's go back to that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. See what it says. For God who commanded what? Light to shine out of darkness, has shined away in our hearts. To give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of who? Now when it says in the face, and the face is a reference to in the light of what Jesus accomplished. That's how the gospel came. The gospel was given because of what Jesus accomplished by his resurrection. So he's telling the resurrection of Jesus is the gospel. Say amen. He now says, where will you get this statement from? God will command light to shine out of darkness. Where will you get that statement from? Genesis 1 and 2. So if you thought Genesis 1 and 2 was referring strictly to the story of creation, he's now telling you that right from the beginning, this is God's plan. That God never intended that man and God should be separate. I mean, do you get it now? It was never so. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, or the heaven and the earth were meant to be what? One. Say amen. Is that clear now? Now, what is the process by which that will happen in prophecy? And the earth was start form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The deep there is what? The heart of man. Say amen now. Is that clear now? Okay, I'm trying to go as fast as possible. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters, or the Spirit of God was trying to seek access to the hearts of men. How was that access granted? God said, let there be light. What is light again? The light of the glory of God. In the face of who? Jesus Christ. Is that the gospel? Is that simple? Good. So, go back to that John chapter 14. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you what? Another comforter. What is what another again? Another of the same kind. Allos Paracletos. A standby. That means a reality that is continuous. It's no longer, for instance, when Jesus says another of the same kind, Allos Paracletos, when Jesus was with them, he could only be with them in one location at a time. Let me explain. When he sent them in Luke chapter 10 to go and preach the gospel, he wasn't with them. They went with his name, but he wasn't with them. Do you understand that? He wasn't with them. They came back to give him report because he was physically dwelling in the body, so he could only be in one place at one time. Alright? So when it says that he may abide with you forever, the word comforter there, the word comforter means a standby. He is ever with you. You don't go away from him. He doesn't go away from you. It's an abiding reality. That's what he's saying. Now, another of the same kind simply means it is still me, but in a different form. Are we together? So he says that he may abide with you what? Forever. Now again, forever there is a description of what Christ will accomplish that will make this a reality. Forever means that it is a permanent state. Once you are God's temple, you never stop being God's temple. Because the plan of God is that man should become God's what? Temple. Heaven and earth. Amen. Good. So when he says, when Jesus appeared and told them, and said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. He was speaking of that union, that heaven and earth has come together. And the question is this, was that the first time heaven and earth has come together? No. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the word was what? Made flesh. Before you read that, from verse 1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. The word translated the word is called logos. God's ideology, God's original intent was there from the beginning. That's what he's telling you. So John is quoting Genesis 1. That's what John is quoting. But now he's quoting it in a way to explain it, because he's about to tell you, we saw the first phase of that original intent of God fulfilled. He's about to tell you that. He's about to tell you the word became flesh, or God's intention put on flesh. Hallelujah. Shall I go back a little? Let me say it again. And the beginning was the word. Amen? That word is God's intention, the explanation of God, God's logic. Okay? It was there from the beginning. So there was a plan. Say there was a plan. Okay, so things didn't just happen. There was a plan. It was there from the beginning. God himself is our plan. Hallelujah. Now, again, if you understand what I'm trying to communicate, one of the things I'm trying to free your mind for is this. And that's why we're looking at the Spirit's witness on Wednesdays as a companion to this teaching. Because, yes, usually the mindset that we have, you are born again, means that God gave you his DNA. Natural parenting is a signpost of a spiritual reality, but it's not the same. It is but a shadow. In natural parenting, if we say somebody gave birth to this person and we do a DNA test, we find that person's parentage through the DNA test, isn't it? We determine, isn't it? We establish it. So that person's DNA, but somebody else also gave birth to that person. And then somebody else gave that to that person. So everybody seems to be, giving back and giving back. So the DNA that you have are some of the traits and attributes of that person, but you are separate from that person. Are we good? But when it comes to God's fatherhood, we sometimes use the word DNA. It's the closest we can find in natural, but it's not the same. Because God doesn't give you seed. He is the seed. Do you understand? So it's not that you have a seed, you can go. You are going, God is going. No, he himself is the seed. So he lives in you to father you. That's the reality. Why is that reality important? It will change your mode of worship. It will change what you are conscious of. It will change the way you are praying. Fathers, I'm going, go with me. Where did he go before? It will change your mindset. When we're younger, it depends on the kind of dad that you had. If you had the kind of dad that was a commanding officer, where when you are going to his room, you rehearse how to say it. Then when you knock on the door and you hear his voice, everything you rehearse disappears. You are stammering. Yes, who is that? You are trying to get yourself. Says, can't you speak up? You don't have a name. Everything you want to say. If I were not careful, I just came to greet you. Everything's okay. Now, we have a mindset. I'm going to church to pray. It's not wrong. It depends on what you mean. But you cannot say, I'm going to church to meet God. Meet God? He left physical temples. Or let me put it this way. The awareness that men had that he was in a physical temple was changed by the sacrifice of Jesus. So you can understand that he never lived there. He always wanted to live where? In you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and what? The earth. Not the heaven separately and the earth separately. No. That wasn't the intent. So in the beginning was the logos. That's the intent. And the word was God and the word was God. The same logos. Intent was in the beginning God. So that all things were made by him. That's how you will know he's no longer talking about physical creation. Because he says in the beginning was the word, which is God's intention. Okay, and the intention was with God. Who was the intention? God. The same intention was made with God. All things were made with that intention. Or every prophecy you hear is with one intention. God and man must come together. Hallelujah. So all things is not chair, table, tree. All things is what? Everything that was spoken was leading to one thing. What is that one thing? God and what? Man. She will be together. In him was life. And that life is what? The light of men. Now, if you're following John, and John didn't quote out of thin here, he must have a background. John is speaking based on how Jesus explained the scriptures to him. Because they didn't understand the scriptures until he opened their understanding. That means what? Understand the scriptures. glory to God. In November, when we're doing our seminar, I want to share something with you about the realities of the kingdom. It's going to be 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of every week in November. And I'm going to, because there's a major move we need to make spiritually in order to get some things done. Okay? You can't afford to remain, in quote, a baby all the time. Hallelujah. Thank God we are not a church that everybody runs to pastors. No. When you need a pastoral assistance or help, fine. Or you go to some of our leaders, but that should not be the culture. You should have people you're mentoring, people you're discipling, people you're raising based on the knowledge that you have. And let me say something to you about spiritual knowledge. The more you give it away, the stronger you become in it. The more you open your mouth to teach What you think you know, the further you become establishing it. So what you are giving out multiplies in your life. Which is why we encourage you to always preach the gospel, because these realities have a way of staying with you the more you share them. As you're sharing, what's happening? You're becoming established. It's multiplying in your heart. So when you keep quiet and you don't share, you are not doing yourself much good in terms of spiritual growth. Because whatever you speak about continuously is what you become conscious of. Hallelujah. So it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay. And that light shines where? In darkness. So let me ask you a question. What is the darkness now? Where is the darkness? In the heart of men. Okay. So you can't be talking about creation again. Did creation happen that way? Yes. But is it talking about creation? No. What's it talking about? Christ. The gospel. And the light shining where? In the heart of men. Amen. Are we together? Look at verse 9. That was the true light. You know, if they tell you that was the true light, it means there were 100 things that took place that wasn't the true light. The word true there means reality. That was the light in reality. And it says, this is the function of that light. It lights what? Every man that cometh where? Into the world. Why is he making that distinction? John was a burning and shining light. It was a lamp. A lamp carries light, but a lamp is not what? The light. So a lamp will call your attention to what? The light. He's bearing witness of the light, but he is not what? The light. So Moses was a lamp. David was a lamp. Isaiah was a lamp. Ezekiel was a lamp. They carried light. And the function is to call your attention to what? The light. But this is not a lamp. This is the light now. And when the light comes, his major intent is that it will light what? Every man. So it, look at it this way. No man comes to the world with light. Every man is born into this world and they receive what? That light. What is that light again now? The gospel. Thank you. Is that okay? Cool. So go back to John chapter 14. So we've done a background now. John 14 and 16, I will say earlier. See what it says. So I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may want abide with you forever. So another is not another. Another is the same in a different form. Hallelujah. See, Jesus lives in me by his spirit. Stop. When you now say by his spirit, your thinking still thinks there's Jesus, there's his spirit. Are you getting now? This is what you use. Let me ask you a question. What did John teach us in John's Gospel chapter 4? John's Gospel chapter 4, verse 20. Look at John's Gospel chapter 4. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. The woman was sharing a testimony with Jesus. So she was educating Jesus. You understand? You know what it means when you are standing before the word? He has already told you. If you knew the gift of God, I asked you give me water to start the conversation. So you told me, said that, how come you a Jew? You're asking water of me, Samaritan. Don't you know the Samaritans don't have any dealing with the Jews? Then Jesus now said that anyone that drinks from this water will thirst again. But anyone that drinks of the water that I shall give, that should let you know this can be water. Shall never thirst again. So you use a natural conversation to introduce what? A spiritual reality. He just told the woman, said that if you need the gift of God, and who it is that asketh you for water, you will have asked him, and he will have given you rivers of living water or living water. When the woman heard, he said, Lord, where is this water? You don't have anything to fetch water with. So she's still thinking about what? Natural water. What is Jesus talking about? A spiritual reality. So they were having that conversation. So the woman was now telling Jesus, have I not worshipped in this mountain? You know, and you say that it is in Jerusalem where men should worship. So that's one of the contentions between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Samaritans are half-breed Jews. So the Jews who are full-blooded Jews, they despise them. You understand that? You are mixed multitude. So you look at the next verse, see what it says. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. Oh, glory to God. The hour cometh. When you shall neither in this, see, when I'm meditating and I'm praying, let me tell you why I don't know, because that's how you feed. It's a different thing when you are studying to preach than when you are studying to grow. When you are studying to grow, it's from the overflow of study that you are feeding from, say amen, that you are teaching from, but you are naturally what? Feeding. So I am with Jesus and I want to look at Moses' face. That's what meditation is. That Moses, what you said will happen the author, the one who placed those words on your lips that you are speaking of, is now telling someone that the hour is finally here. You ask to see God's glory. I told you it's not yet time, but the time is now. That woman didn't know the magnitude of what Jesus said, but thank God John recorded it for us to hear. So when Jesus was saying this, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this what? Mountain, not yet at any at Jerusalem. Worship what? The Father. Look at the next verse. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship for what? Salvation is of the Jews. Now, of the Jews means that by the natural heritage of the Jews, that's how salvation will come. It doesn't mean salvation belongs to the Jews. Say amen. The Jews are not special. Say amen. You see, I'm just saying, I'm a spiritual Israelite. You are not. Be in Christ. Amen. So there are only three groups of people on the earth. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church. You won't find a scripture that says you are a spiritual Israelite. That means you are a spiritual Abraham, spiritual Jacob. Don't be. Be in Christ. Say, I'm in Christ. That's enough. So the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God, unique nations on the earth. You have to be one of the three. So the Jews, they are still following Judaism. The Gentiles, paganism, idol worship, but the church of God, where there's circumcision, that worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. Glory to God. That's our definition. So it's different. So when it says that we worship for salvation is of the Jews, they were the ones who had the oracles. Everything that we call prophecy was committed to them. So the plan of salvation was given to them in a mystery form that they didn't understand. Jesus is the explanation of that mystery. So the explanation is sitting before this woman, explaining a portion, not everything, just a fragment of it to her. See what happens next. Next verse. But the hour cometh, and now is, when what? The true worshippers. Again, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. That's the true worshipper. The true worshipper is when heaven and earth come together. Do you understand so far? Are you following? That's a true worshipper. Because true worship means you worship in reality. So you worship the Father based on the logos, which is his original plan and intention, is what makes up true worship. That's why worship can involve a song, but worship is not a song. I hope you know the first time the Bible mentions worship, there was no singing. Say amen. Genesis chapter 4, Abel offered something to God, and the Bible calls it worship. Was he singing? No, there was no song, there was no choir, no keyboard. It's amazing. There was no keyboard. If you want to stay with Bible times, there was no singing. So if you think worship is... No. You may include that in worship, but that's not worship. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot dance like David danced. You can do it for exercise. That's okay. It's good for exercise. It's not good for exercise. But you are not worshiping God. Say amen. Even your look is telling me that you don't like it. Pastor, you're not saying that I cannot dance before God for 2 hours. You can exercise for 2 hours. Either you speak in tongues and you wave your hands. Okay, because the moving of your body is flesh. And the person you are worshiping is what? Spirit. Are you not saying we should not dance? Okay, when did I say so? I did not say so. You need to understand. It's not like saying that, let us give God a big hand. Which hand? You cannot applaud God, you praise him. We applaud men, we praise God. Lift up your hands, what? Only hands. In what? Praise. So you will never see a minister. You say, this man of God is coming. Please let us welcome Pastor Tola Gaye. Lift up your hands. I know Pastor, you will go back to his seat. You will not get up. We lift up our hands to praise God. We applaud men. Don't mix it up. So a minister may come to church and wants to minister and say that, you know, Lord, let us appreciate God's servant. And we do what? We clap. Is that okay? Yes. But notice, what are we doing? We're appreciating who? God's servant. We're not praising God. When is now ministering and he prophesies, who is speaking to us? Who is speaking to us? Who should we praise? What do we do when he's prophesying? Thank you. You see, you people are very sharp. You've just passed the exam. Amen. I like you people. So you see, we can't afford to mix it up. It says that our comment now is the true what? Worshipper. Shall one worship the Father in spirit, which is the truth. They're not two different things. In spirit and in truth means in spirit, which is what? The truth. In spirit, the truth there is the reality. The reality is the spirit. Say amen. For the Father, what? Seeketh such to worship. So, seeking there points to this original intent from the beginning. And in order to accomplish it, heaven and earth will what? Come together. Are we together? Is that, and look at the next verse. For God is a spirit. He now tells you in John chapter 14, verse 16, I'll pray the Father will give you another comforter that he may one abide with you forever. Look at verse 8, verse 17. Verse 17. I've jumped, sorry. John 14, 17. See what it says. Even the spirit of what? Truth. What is truth again? Reality. The reality of the union of God and one man. Now it says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. When you start seeing words like seeth him, it can't be optical seeing. Because even as you are now, you have not seen the spirit. I mean, you have seen the spirit before. And he was wearing a costume. You saw him? No, you have not seen. So the only way you can see here has to be what? In the word of God. Say amen. So he seeth him not means that he has never accepted the reality of the spirit because he doesn't know the word of God. The word of God is what communicates the reality of the spirit what to us. For instance, how did you get saved? Somebody preached the gospel to you. And Jesus has already told you, no man can come unto me except who? The Father draws him. So do you know what happened? When somebody preached the gospel, you believe the Father came himself. Only he came inside what? A man. And did what? Preach the gospel to you. Did you recognize him as God? No. Who did you think came? A man. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, no man can come except my Father what draws him. So it is God inside men drawing people to himself by himself. That's what's happening. That's heaven and earth. That's what's going on. So it says, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot because it seeth none know him. But you know him. Notice the difference. For a what? Draws wheat. And he shall be in. So let's say prophecy that was about to be fulfilled. This was before Jesus came to announce all authority is given unto me. But Jesus was already speaking about it as a prophecy. He said, it dwells with you. What does it mean with you? Jesus was with them. And by being with them, it was the temple of God. It was the only one who housed God. So at that time, it was wheat. But wheat is the initial phase of the journey, not the final phase. The final phase is where? In glory to God. So when Jesus said, came and said, all authority is given unto me where? In heaven and on earth. Go back to Matthew 28. Glory to God. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach what? All nations. The word teach there means you make disciples of all nations. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to what? Observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you. Notice, in the light of what has just taken place, all authority has been what? Given to me where? In heaven and earth. Or the union of God in man is complete. Okay? In the light of that truth, which was a prophecy on the Mount of Moses, it was a prophecy on the Mount of Ezekiel, it was a prophecy on the Mount of Jeremiah, it was a prophecy in David's mouth, utterances. In the reality of that prophecy now, you are going to go and make disciples, not of the prophecy, but of the fulfillment. Hallelujah. You see, let me say it this way. What we call born again, it's just that we belittle what God has done. It's a big deal. It is not fire insurance. You understand? It's not so that you will not go to hell. No, so you scare people away from the world into the kingdom. And if you use fear, fear will cause them to be unstable in their walk all their days. Because fear means that they will be looking, watching out for every step that they make. So they think they are the security of their own salvation. You understand? But if you speak, knowing, listen carefully, you are not the one to persuade. It is a Father in you that ought to persuade men. That's why, because the message is not yours, it is his. You don't add anything to it. You don't garnish the story. Hallelujah. Let me tell you. See, it is carnal thinking. When you say, I'll just tell them, Jesus died. Are you the one that died? It's carnal thinking. You say, let us add a little bit. Let me first start with football. You can start with Jesus. There's no problem. But don't add to the message. Don't say, if you receive Jesus, I'm telling you, in 3 months, your finances will turn. If it doesn't turn, they are coming for you. Don't try to sweeten what is already sweet. How can I promise you God will turn everything around when people that have not met him have what I'm saying? That cannot be what Jesus came for. Can God now help you to turn things? Yes. But don't tell them that is what is in their life to do. Do you understand? If somebody comes to Christ and receives Christ, by the teaching of the word, using faith, he can get what? But that is not what? The message. It is that when you look at the rich man in this world and the poor man in this world, both of them are poor before God, outside of Christ. So Christ is true wealth. Are you with me this morning? So Paul tells us, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, 1 Corinthians 2:1, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you what? The testimony of God. I didn't add things to it. I didn't try to sweeten it. I didn't use human philosophy to try to convince you, because I'm not the one doing the convincing. The Father that dwells in me is one that's meant to do the convincing. So you've not preached because you are thinking, if I just tell them, the gospel is what? The power of God. Let the power work. Open your mouth and sit, preach it. The power will work. It has been working. Think about it. If it will not work, how come it got you? It got you, and you thought you were wise. Were you not wise? How did it get you? It was, is that what you heard? Yes. I know some of you heard something else, but let's see. Let's see that one's funny. But that's what you had. Did it work? Yes, it worked. It worked. It worked. It's a Father at work in you. So he says, go into all the world. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. He didn't say make them apprentice or carpentry. The 4 Gospels were documentations of his ministry work. And everything he did was towards one goal. Heaven and earth coming together. God living inside of man. That was the goal. So make disciples means go and teach them about this reality. Let them know. It is not God giving you something. It is God himself coming to live where? In you. Look at that last verse again, verse 20. Go ye therefore and teach what? No, verse 20, please. Verse 20. Verse 20. Teaching them to what? Observe all things, whatsoever I have what? Commanded. So command there, don't leave that chapter. The word command there means the reality I just explained to you now. Go and tell them. It is God in man. Hallelujah. That's why it's with boldness. When the understanding comes, you tell yourself, God lives inside of me. You look at the mirror, God lives inside this man. You ought to say with all boldness, with all conviction. Because it's not wishful thinking. That's the reality. That is what activates the supernatural deposit of God within you. That's what makes your future faculties come awake. It responds to what? It was given to you through words. It responds to what? So it says, this is what you ought to teach them. Don't teach them that Jesus is coming soon. Repent, or you go to hell. He didn't tell you to go and say that. What he took you to go and tell them is the love of God. For God so loved the world that the one gave his one only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? So are they already perishing? Yes. What is this message for? So that they will not perish. It's very simple. When did he give his son? Not when Jesus was born. That wasn't when he was given. No. Because he just told you, whosoever believeth in him, if you believe in Jesus in his earthly ministry, your salvation is promissory. Because he couldn't save anyone when he was in the flesh. He could only save any and everyone when he rose from the dead. Yeah. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. So believing there is a pointer to a message, which is his resurrection, when he rose. What happened when he rose? He came to tell them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I don't, you see, like I said, in meditation, you look at how Jesus must have said that with excitement. And now Moses will feel, it has happened. What I spoke about, it has come to pass. And where David was, he was like, oh my goodness, the Lord said to my Lord, okay, this is it now. Because even David was like, wait, should I say this thing? Should I, the Lord said to my Lord. Which Lord said to Lord? Which Lord? If you were also David, how will you feel? The Lord said to my Lord. Is that you were interrupting your conversation. See, you are standing behind a closed door. You now hear the conversation. You didn't hear who was speaking to who. And before you could hear the rest, you had to leave the place. So, how will you say it? Even though you know it doesn't sound make any sense. Because there should be only one Lord. So, if you check the original context, I'm quoting Psalm 110 verse 1. What the other Jehovah said to Jehovah, if it's you also, your brain will leak. If it's also you. So, you have to praise David for trying. Yahweh said to Yahweh, David, too much wine. Is this dancing that's your problem? This dancing. You've danced sense away. Even the writers had to change it. Jehovah said to Adonai, nah, no, they cannot be the same. But they were the same. Hallelujah. He was the same. He's the only one who can look at himself, speak to himself, come out of himself, and never diminish. He's the only one who can. That's the import of that verse. So imagine David, say he's behind the scenes, part of the cloud, and watching. Ah, it has come to pass. Because when God said to them, go and teach all men whatever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Or I am is with you. Because what I am there is the same Jehovah of the Holy Scriptures. That's what it is. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. He is now what he said he will be. He is in man. So he was announcing fulfillment. So let me say this way. If you were there, and that's what Jesus told you, do you now know why he said you will need to pray? Why he said you will gradually realize? It has happened, but realization dawns on you what? Gradually. That's why we pray. Now, the few men who got it, people like in E.W. Kenyon, the world thought they were crazy. They thought they were crazy. John G. Lake had a testimony of being, he said, in his generation, he had the strongest revelation of God in man consciousness. How did he get there? He said, through tongues, meditation. He said, I will stand before the mirror and say that I'm the righteousness of God. God lives in this man. And he's talking to himself in the mirror. Now, if we ask you to do that now, you say, ah, what's all that? What's all that? Well, that's why he got there. That's how he got there. He had to do crazy things as far as the world is concerned in order to walk in the reality of God in man. Say, God is in me. Say, God lives in me. Not in a lesser measure, in the fullness of his glory. Say, God lives in me. Not in a lesser measure, in the fullness of his glory, he lives in me now. Glory to God. Can you see that? So go back to that verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I command them. And lo, that's what behold. That means pay close attention to what I'm about to say. This is not a natural reality. When I tell you lo, and I'm standing before you, I'm telling you, look beyond my standing. I'm here with you. That's how I've always been with you before this event. So I'm still standing before you, but I'm no longer with you. Hallelujah. I'm still standing before you. So Lord there means behold. I want you to focus your attention in order to arrive at a conclusion. Oral, you behold with the intention of seeing what I'm about to say. So beyond me standing with you, things have changed. You see, if Jesus stayed with them for too long, beyond the 40 days and everything, they will go back to the old way of thinking. Anything we need, we just go to him. A greater reality had taken place, but they still wanted to relate with Jesus the same way. So he had to first oblige them by eating bread and fish with them. Meanwhile, the resurrection has nothing with bread and fish. Why didn't you get fresh and bread and fish with them? So that when they are testifying eyewitness, they say, I know. It was not a ghost that we saw. You know, it wasn't ghost. Say, you are lying. Say, no, he ate bread. He also ate fish. I also ate it. It's the same thing. We're sitting together. Peter was saying, I was there. Don't tell him, come and tell me what I don't know. I know. Ghost doesn't eat fish. Except in Nigerian movies. Hallelujah. Somebody, Nigerians have heard nothing. Somebody said, how can ghosts be avoiding car on the road? I think it's a ghost. If the ghost die again, the ghost is avoiding car. Imagine. Only in Nigerian movies. The ghosts that we see in American movies, cars pass through them. I mean, they pass through the door. But the ghost is knocking the door. They have to open the door for ghosts. God help Nigeria. God bless us. Amen. So, he ate with them. That sense knowledge. When he finished eating, Luke 21. Oh, there's some things we ought to get to today, but we can't get there, but we'll continue next week. Luke 24. Look at verse 40. Luke 24, verse 40. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Next verse. And while they yet believed not for joy, they were too excited and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any what? Meat. Next verse. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. That's serious diet. And he took it and did eat what? Before them. Next verse. And he said unto them. So, their attention, was it meant to be on the eating or what he was about to say? Thank you. Thank you. Because the person they were looking at, pay attention, they were looking at is the Allos Paracletos. That was the Allos Paracletos. He's with them in another form. When he's visiting with them now, he's not strictly physical. See what happens. He says, these are the words which I speak to you while I was yet with you. What does that tell you? I'm no longer with you in that same way. How many of you understand that? So, thank you, sir. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and where? In the Psalms concerning me. Can you see the Psalms are concerning him? Say the Psalms are concerning him. Say the Psalm is not for praying against enemies. Say it convincingly. Say the Psalm. It's not for fighting enemies. It's not for praying dangerous prayer. It contains revelation of Christ. Amen. 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 Don't read Psalm into water and say, I'm going to drink it. You will not understand. Except you have done dangerous things with Psalms. If you didn't come from that background, you are blessed. You didn't like candle, you are really blessed. You didn't use frankincense, you are tremendously blessed. Alright, so it says, verse 45. So then he opened what? Their understanding. What he just mentioned, Moses, Lord Moses, in the Psalms, in the prophets, did they know those things? Yes. Did they know it was concerning him? No. So when you hear he opened their understanding, it was written in one verse. But in Acts chapter 1, Luke tells us that was 40 days teaching. 40 days teaching. And in case you think they were better than you, in that same Acts chapter 1, how would you feel? You left the church to these people. You finished teaching 40 days. You're about to go. Then ask you, so will you at this time restore the kingdom to everything we have been saying since? Kingdom to fiscal kingdom, even now. I'm about to leave. You know, you feel like, what was the 3.5 years for? If you are still saying, but did Jesus give up on them? No. He trusted that the work he did by the Spirit was perfect enough to bring them to maturity. So the Spirit in you is enough. It is a proof of what that Jesus has done. It is enough for Jesus to go. And his going out of their physical sight was to help their faith, because his going was a coming into. They will look at that as we go on. Don't mind the way it was recorded. You follow the words. What did he say? That's how you know what happened. You don't say that. And he said that they saw him and he was ascending. That's for eyewitness testimony. So that they will say that we saw him ascend. Because when you are talking, see, I can't be doing evangelism for you. I want to get you saved. And I tell you, Genesis 1:1. Do you know that wasn't creation? In evangelism. No. I can't be saying that. It is the believer that you are teaching what? The truth. So eyewitness is what? Eyewitness. It's not spirit witness. What's eyewitness? We saw him ascend. Okay? What spirit witness? Jesus told them, I will be in you. He will be in me. We are inseparable. So when you see him going, you know he has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or you can say the same. When he was going, I was also going. We were together. So stop thinking, as it was, And that's why, you know, when the Bible speaks about what we call rapture, you know, it doesn't say Jesus is Okay, let me leave that one. Because so he opened the understanding that they might what? Understand the scripture. So understanding scripture, that's when they got saved. He's telling you in a 40-day teaching, they believed the message. Not just that they saw Jesus. There's nothing to believe in seeing Jesus. You just saw him. It's you. You even had fish with us. That's true. But what we bring change is what? The message. So he taught them for 40 days. Did they believe? Yes. That's why when Peter began to teach, guess what Peter did in Acts chapter 2? He followed the same format, the same mode of teaching. So there's a mode of teaching Jesus gave to them that everyone of them kept following. It's called apostolic doctrine. There's a mode of explanation that was given to them that way. So now says, go and make disciples. When you're making disciples, don't deviate from this truth. What I've commanded you is to let them know heaven and earth has what? Come together. So you get people saved, you begin to teach them. It is not fire insurance. It is not salvation until your next sin. A woman will have redemption. Even what? The forgiveness of sins. That's what you're meant to teach them. How do you stay in that consciousness? You feed on the truth voraciously. That's why we saw James chapter 1 in the first session in this series. You feed on those truths voraciously. If he can tell you, lo, I am with you, look and keep what? Looking, beholding. Why? Because it takes a while for your mind to become what? Renewed with these truths. You're going on evangelism. You want to go and pray for the sick. Even in your prayer, you will know what you are conscious of. Okay? If your prayer is, oh God, oh God, oh God, see, I've been there before. Because of the way my mouth was moving. The way my mouth was moving when I'm preaching on campus. That's how one brother was in the meeting and was hearing me. A lady came that was demon possessed. He didn't see anybody in the way except me to come and call. I mean, the story the lady told him was so fearful that he ran away from the room. He told the lady, I'm coming. He was looking for me up and down. When he told me, I was thinking that, go to fellowship now. He said, it's you. In fact, the way you're speaking, yeah, that's when you start thinking that, why did I speak this way? That is what they say we should say that I'm saying. Where did you come and call me? So as we're going, you're thinking, everything I've committed. God, as we're going, God, don't disagree. You are negotiating. No. And God is looking at you that. Who told you that you're the one that will do it? I in you. Hallelujah. Then I was going. I remember to speak in tongues. I remember the long line. And then speaking. When I got there and I saw the lady, I spoke with her for 2 minutes. And the demon left her. Okay? But I'm just saying that. What was the challenge? It wasn't God. It was me. And my consciousness. I didn't have full knowledge. I was thinking, you know, you've heard all kinds of stories. Stories that are unsubstantiated. I don't know when I hear the story, somebody said, when somebody was demon possessed, approached some brothers. I said, what do you believe in? He said, I'm standing on this. He said, slapped him. He said, brother, what do you believe in? He said, I pay my tithes. They will slap, give me another slap. The third one said, I'm standing on the rock. He said, you can go. It's not true. It's not true. He's not true. I've heard that story before. He said, that was okay. I'm standing on the rock. I'm saying, that was okay. Okay, you know what you're doing. Say, a demon will be telling me I know what I'm doing. Stories are not true. A demon is questioning. So what do you believe? You're a believer. I can't imagine. So, and then, it's funny. That story will not spread. That's what I will spread. The one that the demon was not allowed to speak will not spread. Because there's no drama. I remember when you're watching all these funny videos where a demon is manifesting. I am so and so. From those that, just switch it off. A comment is better. Just switch it off. State managed matters. A demon will be talking to you. You that you are possessed by God. He's telling you, No. You sinned yesterday. Is it not 2 days ago that you said, you are who? I mean, you know, there are sins and iniquities. Will I remember no more? You don't know what it means? You are God's righteousness. Not your own righteousness. You are what? God's righteousness. God's righteousness can't speak. And demons will not respond. It's what you are conscious of. So, feed voraciously on the truths. Number two, pray much in the spirit. Because the truths are spiritual realities. Praying in the spirit is you functioning in the realm where you belong to make those realities more real what? To you. You know, Jude puts it this way. Beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Your most holy faith is the resurrection of Jesus. That's your foundation. You are doing something to yourself in the light of that reality. So you are building yourself on those what, on that what reality. That's what you're doing. That's what tongue does. What it does. You build up yourself on your most holy faith. Your most holy faith is that Jesus died and rose again. That's the foundation of your faith. So you build yourself in that consciousness until every fab of your being is saying, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive in me today. Hallelujah. What it means. And like Pastor Steve was saying this morning, regularly declare God's word. Regularly declare God's word. You see, you can have dedicated times of prayer. And if you are in any of our groups, WhatsApp groups during the lockdown, you notice that we maintain consistent prayer chain. I mean, whether. Why did we do that? So that you will not lose track or you not lose ground spiritually. That's what we're doing. Because we knew at that time, not a single reported case in this church of COVID. Nothing like that. To the glory of God. Now, one of the things that we wanted to keep you spiritually alert, not meeting physically, is detrimental to the church, to the health of a believer. It is. But how do we keep everybody in line? We're praying for you. You're also praying for others. That's what we're doing. And guess what? It's now so that even though we're not yet meeting for our physical prayer meetings yet, but if you follow that pattern, by now, at least 1 hour every day. In a week, how many hours is that? If you follow it, how many hours is that? 7 hours. Is that not good? Done. Plus God minus devil. Is that not better? So that means unconsciously we schooled you and trained you. If you are faithfully following the instructions, we schooled you and trained you in the reality of who you are so that you can continue even when you are not physically meeting with other brethren. That's what we did. So praying the spirit awakens your consciousness. It establishes you in what is already yours. That's what it does. You are confessing, declaring. And of course, when you are declaring, that meditation also is involved. It means to roar. It means to dwell on something and you're muttering and declaring until the sound you're making drowns out every other noise in your environment. That's actually what meditation means. Joshua 1:8. That's what Joshua was told in Joshua 1:8. This book of law shall not what? Depart from your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That mayest observe to do all that's what? Written therein. You shall make your way prosperous. You shall have what? Thank you. The word meditate means to roar. It means through the words that you are muttering when you're thinking, those words should drown out every contrary voice in your environment. That's the plan of God. Until what is real to you, it's what God has said which is coming out of your mouth. That's the plan of God. That's how a healthy believer lives. Because, listen, brothers and sisters, we are subject to influence. You can't find a man who is not a product of influence. And when we come next week, why should you mind your associations? Because you are a being that is subject to influence. And a lot of times, you cannot go or live or operate beyond your associations. The ones you relate with the most will determine your spiritual height. They will. Not because you want them to, because it's just a law. It's just a law. So whatever you fraternize with as a way of dominating your conversation, dominating your actions. That's just so. You want to shape it up. You want to get better at certain things when it comes to things of the spirit. Mind who it is that you're relating with. So you have the right to choose your associations deliberately. And that's how you determine what happens to you later on. You're the one who does that. It can't be forced upon you. Everybody can't be your friend. Fact. You have a choice. Because you know what you want to accomplish, you know where you are going, so you are mindful of your associations. It's just wisdom when it comes to spiritual things. So you keep the kind of company that's like a prophecy to where you're going. This is what I want to accomplish. This is what I want to become. Hallelujah. This is what I want to become. In order to teach, I fraternize. With one or two people who teach well, that's what I do. That's how to do it. You want to sing, you fraternize with those who what? Sing well. Somebody is singing New Testament realities. You become close to that person. Even if you can't be physically close, you listen to that person's song, it's the same spirit. You begin to think that way. Even when you are composing songs, your composition will follow the same order. But if the person you are relating with is singing, I will enter, the yet to enter, everything you will sing also, you'll be yet to enter. We don't know when you will now enter. Even though Jesus has entered and brought you in, your mind is still outside. That's all. Yes. That's why, again, like we said, it's, why are they so strict? Why are they so particular? Are you saying that we cannot listen to songs? No, you use this. The songs that you listen to. Not occasionally. Consistently. Have the way of what? Affecting you. We're going in the car. You know, my wife comes from CAC background. We're going in the car, I think 2 days ago, and then I put on the video to hear news. Somebody was singing a song. So, I'm trying to remember the words of that song. But the gist of it was that the person was saying, in a song, say that, I like women too much, and I don't, I'm stubborn, I don't, now, listen, now, Listen. The way you are laughing, you know this song. You know this song. Now listen. The melody of the song, you may like it. But you are a young man. Imagine. What you are singing is that I like women too much. And there's no, I'm very stubborn, I don't listen. That's what you are saying. And you are a child of God. And you are saying it doesn't matter. It matters. It really matters. It will enter your heart. Because in the first place, you don't even see anything wrong in that song. Now, you don't see anything wrong. Means something is wrong with your thinking. You know, I'm just so, because you don't know how Satan systematically infiltrates the minds of people. You don't know. It's systematic. It's never direct. No, you can't see. Satan can never appear before you and say that. I'm the one. I'm devil. You may ask after me. Yeah, here I am. Jesus said deception. He said the prince of the power of the world here. Here waves. So he won't come in the form you think he will come. Because he is the author of lies, the father of lies, and the father of it. So how will you come? In a format that will be attractive. I don't know. I just caught that line. Is that what that guy is saying? And that's a regular confession. Now, it is his own confession. The problem is you now made his confession your own confession. And you are a child of God though. You just are singing. You see, I'm not saying it. I cannot say it. I cannot say it. What a confession. Then you need to reinforce the confession in your life. You are now dancing to the song. It's called reinforcing the confession. What will happen? Exactly as he has said. You will be strong-headed, stubborn, not listen to anybody. Until something really bad happens. So we are careful about what we hear. What you give your attention to has to be deliberate. That's how he infiltrates. Hallelujah. Say, I guard my heart with all diligence. I guard my heart with all diligence. The word of God upon my lips is my salvation on a daily basis. Is my deliverance from harm, from difficulties, from trials, from lack. In the name of Jesus, I prevail because the Father dwells in me now. All things are possible unto me in the Father. Hallelujah. Amen.